All right. So our scripture again this week, it's the same as last week. We're focusing on passage from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, and this is verses 19 through 25. So let's listen together for the word of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Word of God for the people of God. So we talked a little bit about this passage last week and tried to unpack it a little bit. And just a brief recap. One of the things that, that Jeff shared last week was the statistic that 40% of Americans say they attend church weekly, but only 20% actually attend church in any given week. Liars. And so we asked you guys, why is that? What are some of the reasons for that? Why don't people go to church? And some of the things that you guys said include, it's difficult to accept all of the dogma, the doctrines that churches expect people to believe. People have trouble understanding or appreciating the Bible. Someone brought up the concept of relativism, that if it doesn't really make a difference what someone believes, then why bother believing anything? Some people talked about the idea of God being an intellectual problem that makes it difficult to be in church. Some people talked about waiting to get right with God before participating in church. And someone also talked about churches being confused about what they are and what their mission are. So there were a lot of barriers around our beliefs. Our beliefs become a barrier to doing church together. And then there was also a lot of comments about participation, other barriers that keep people from coming to church, which included laziness, someone else's word, not mine, that worship is too early in the morning, social anxiety, having issues with the leaders of the church, assuming they were talking about other churches. No one's ever had any problems with me. I don't know what that's about. Not interested in sitting for 2 hours as a spectator. That's a disincentive to come to church. And people talked about feeling unwelcome in other churches or feeling like there was a lack of opportunity for them to participate in church, that it was only meant for a specific elite group of people. So we wrote all those down, all those reasons not to go to church, and then we ran out of time. And so we left you all with a list of reasons not to come back. But here you are, and I can't wait to hear from you a little bit later what some of your reasons are for wanting to do church. Why do you overcome some of these barriers, if they are barriers for you, to participate not just in worship on Sunday, but in different aspects of what it means to do church? There was something I didn't get to talk about last time that I wanted to because we ran out of time. So we talked about drive-in church. You guys remember that? Yeah. So Jeff and I last week saw this short film about drive-in church in, I think, Daytona Beach, Florida. It's what it sounds like if you weren't here last week. It's a church where people drive their cars into an open field and listen to the service over the radio and by themselves in their cars drink a little cup and eat a tiny, tiny, impossibly tiny chiclet-sized piece of bread. And a guy drives around in a golf cart and collects the offering. And some guy with a Confederate flag and a pickup truck with his cat is worshiping at church. And we just thought, this is the most American thing ever. And also, what even is church? If this is church now, then what is church? And we made a lot of jokes about it, because that's our way. But later, I was reading an op-ed that the director of the film wrote, actually. You can read it at the New York Times. And she was talking about how she had kind of a cynical approach to drive-in church before she started this project. But as she was interviewing the people in the cars who were worshiping there, and remember, there was like an actual like gathering of humans inside the building you could go to also. But as she was talking to the folks in the cars about their reasons for enjoying drive-in church, it really changed her perspective. And a couple of things they said were, some of them had pretty severe physical disabilities, and so it made it more possible for them to worship in church because they didn't have to get in and out of their car. There were also people there who were grieving the loss of a loved one, and they wanted to come to church, but they weren't ready yet to like talk with people either about their experience or trying to make like chit-chat, and so it gave them that space to do that. And then there were also people who just wanted to come with their pets, so there was that too. But when I like listened to those reasons, I just it made me realize that like the church was about something different than I thought it was. Like these were actually very compassionate decisions they were making and trying to create space for people to kind of wade into church if they were feeling disconnected or anxious about that for some reason. So like in that way, I'm like, oh, they're not like totally unlike Hot Metal in some ways. But Maggie was here for that conversation, and so you heard all that. Did you have responses? Did you have feelings or thoughts like while you were hearing that or as you were reflecting on it like over the week?
Yeah. So, you know, as we were making that list of all the reasons why not to come to church, we kind of talked about this in staff meeting a little while ago, and we were like, oh, maybe this is a really bad idea. We're like telling them all the reasons not to come. So we were hoping you guys would come back. But as that was going on, and I was reflecting on it, I think the week before I'd listened to a podcast called On Being by Krista Tippett, and there was one episode that I was listening to, and it was titled Why You're Gonna Marry the Wrong Person. Just go with me, it relates. So maybe being like a theology nerd or what, but as I'm listening to this, I'm like, this sounds like the church. And so it was, someone wrote this article, and it was the number one read New York Times article the year it was written. But basically, it kind of just talked about how, you know, you're always going to find flaws in that other person, or it's going to get hard. But we shouldn't expect one person to meet all of our needs. So naturally, my mind went to the church. And that's what last week's conversation reminded me of, because we talked about all of these ways that we might disagree with our church or all these problems that we might have, but that's not reason not to make the effort anyway and not to commit to doing that thing anyway. And so that's just one of the main things that I thought of from that conversation.
Like any church you go to is going to be disappointing in some way.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Just like anyone you marry is, there's going to be problems.
I mean, I don't know that from experience, but I'll take your word for it.
I'm sure Marianne will confirm for us. yeah, there's no perfect person, not even me.
Not even Hot Metal.
Not even Hot Metal.
You know.
Right. So one of the things as I was reflecting on the ways that we are like drive-in church, I was thinking about the way that we have approached belief as a congregation. Because as we mentioned in that list, expectations about particular beliefs are often a barrier to people participating in a church community because they don't agree or they're not sure, and it seems like they need to sign on and sort that out before they can really engage with the community. And so at Hot Metal, we've always tried to make this a safe space for questions, a safe space for affirming that doubt is also a part of the experience of faith and of following Jesus. And we have an open table for communion that anyone who desires to participate in communion can come and do that. There isn't like a test you have to take before you can do that. So there's all these different ways we've tried to open up church when it comes to beliefs. But as we were talking about that, we were as sort of like a way that we've tried to create that drive-in space, something that will make our community more comfortable for people who are coming with doubts and questions and things like that. And that's been something that a lot of people have affirmed, but like we realize that sometimes that can create other experiences too.
Yeah, so I think I was talking with someone from the congregation this past week, and they brought up a good point to me about this tension between, in our intentionality to create a safe place for everyone, for those who have doubts and want to be able to ask questions, you know, and also for those people who are looking for some kind of stability, for some kind of direction of what does this church believe, and what is our mission. We have this tension that makes people feel really uncomfortable, and maybe unless you've been to seminary or have had an extended period of time where you've really become comfortable with that tension, it's a really weird place to be in. So when this person said this to me, it really made me think, because I have had many years to be able to struggle with this dichotomy sometimes, but then to understand that there's a lot of people that don't really know what to do with that intentional space. But then it kind of made Mike and I think that, you know, our reason for being so open or for allowing so many different viewpoints is not unintentional, but it's very intentional. And so maybe if we understand, you know, where other people are coming from and how that's what they need in their faith journey right now, it'll help us to be more accepting about how somebody else learns and what this place means to them.
Yeah, there's a sense in which we kind of have to have like grace with each other, because we're all at like different points along the journey. So just kind of like recognizing that about each other is really important. And it's not that we don't, it's not that like, when I say we, like Maggie and myself and Jeff and other staff members and leaders in the church, it's not like we don't have beliefs. it's more about that we do have beliefs, but one of those is that we need to create this this space for all of us to explore together. I guess that's sort of like, as a pastor, that's sort of some of my understanding of like myself and my role when I'm teaching or preaching, is not so much to try to tell others what to think or believe, but try to help us all learn together how to think well, how to reflect on our experiences and scripture and our tradition in a way that's faithful to the mission and message of Jesus and sort of the experiences that Christians have had throughout history, but in a way that's relevant to what's happening around us today. So, I don't know, Maggie, do you have any, like, beliefs? Are there things you believe?
A couple.
Yeah?
I mean, so when we were talking about this conversation and trying to figure out, like, how to articulate it, just a couple of the things that I believe in, especially that have been brought to light in this political climate, is this deep need for us to share the love of God with one another, and just for this need for hope, hope for redemption, hope for reconciliation, which are all things that the gospel teaches us and the gospel preaches. So for me, the reason that I do church and that I keep coming here is because I see that hope and I see that love every time I experience that with another human, with another person. So I was telling Mike this past week that, like, I really love church in kind of an odd way. I mean, maybe you guys are like this, but this is the best part of my week. Like, as an extrovert and as someone that likes to be social, there's, like, all of my favorite people in one room, and there's donuts, and there's music, and it's just, like, all the things are right there. And I just, all I have to do is go there. But deeper than that, it's, like, this is a safe place. And this is a place where you come, and you get to be vulnerable with one another, and share about the hard parts of your life, or the things that you don't understand. And at least for me, it kind of gives me the energy that I need and the peace that I need to propel me into the next week. But it's really, it's the relationship, and that involves community. And so that kind of requires me to come here every week. And it wasn't, you know, I've been here 3-4, I don't know how long I've been here. But it took a long time for me to get there. It wasn't like as soon as I started being an intern, all of a sudden I felt connected and that these were my people. It's a, like any relationship, it takes a long time. It takes a lot of effort and patience and vulnerability and putting yourself out there. But now that I've done that, you know, I see the fruit of that effort in being a part of this community and feeling that hope and that love that I think the gospel does teach us.
She's not lying about loving church. So I was upstairs waiting for her to come up so we could talk about what we're doing right now. And it was like 10:15 or 10:20. She rolled up there and was like, sorry, I was drinking coffee and talking to everybody. So yeah, I guess like my feelings about what I believe are kind of similar. I think that I have seen the potential of what can happen when someone entrusts their life to the way of Jesus. I've seen that in other people, and I want that sort of thing for myself. And that's one reason why I'm so invested in church and so invested in the community and the mission here at Hot Metal. And it seems like it's really important for us to have a community that is shaping us in order to be more like Jesus. I don't think it works if it's an individualistic belief or faith that we have on our own. I think that there's something it's almost hard to articulate that happens in community when we're struggling through our thoughts, through our understanding of the Bible, through our theology, struggling through our relationships with each other and navigating that. There's something that happens by embracing those challenges that helps grow our faith together. And I think it's really important for us to have a space where we can be encouraged to follow the way of Jesus in the world, especially today when it seems like things are getting darker. I was in a Bible study earlier this week with some folks from the presbytery, and we were reading from Romans 12, which Dave read a portion of it for the call to worship this morning. It's the passage that, there's like a famous line in it. It says, no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be renewed by your, something about minds. The renewing of your mind. Yeah, you guys know the Bible. That's a good thing. And, you know, and later in the passage, it talks about, there's the portion that Dave read about life in the community and loving each other and caring for each other. But then there's also a passage about enemies. There's a portion of it about how to treat your enemies, and it's with kindness. And it's another famous phrase that by doing that, you heap burning coals on their heads. And in our conversation, in my mind, I immediately went to Charlottesville and thinking about the attack last week. And I was feeling a little frustrated with the conversation because I hadn't spoken yet and nobody was making that connection to it. And then someone did make the connection to Charlottesville, but then had like a different understanding of the enemy passage. It talked about how in Jesus we don't have enemies, that we're all one. And it kind of struck me because my understanding of the New Testament isn't that we don't have enemies because of Jesus. It's that Jesus has shown, we have enemies, and Jesus has shown us how to respond to them. There are very definitely enemies who want to hurt and kill and destroy. And for some of us, maybe that's not a daily experience of our lives, and so it's easy to go to that space of thinking about how we can just sort of empathize with everyone and kind of overcome that. But I think we're learning in this past week that that's not the reality for a lot of people, that there is actually a lot of injustice and violence in this world, and that there are enemies, and how do we respond to them? because it's tempting to take vengeance. It's tempting to respond with hatred. It's tempting to respond with violence when violence has been visited on us. But that's not the example of Jesus. And so the community of faith, the church, is what reminds us of that and strengthens us in that conviction. I was just reading today about, this morning, about someone who had marched in Boston. And they were really happy about the leadership of the Black Lives Movement leadership, because they were actively trying to defuse violence. And they were actually escorting the Nazis away from the protest so that they would be safe, because they knew, for a lot of reasons, but one, because they knew what would happen if violence broke out and who was going to suffer the most in that situation. But the guy who was writing about it said that the guy who was being escorted away dropped his swastika flag, and he went down to grab it because he was going to, I don't know, stomp it or burn it or poop on it. I don't know what his plan was to do with that swastika flag. And one of the BLM members like stopped him and was like, no, like you can't do that. You cannot respond in that way to these people. And it just reminded me so much of the example of Dr. King and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the way that they took the teachings and the principles and the example of Jesus and live that out in a really public way that was transforming. But you can't do that on your own. You can't do that outside of a community that is upholding you and supporting you in that. So that's the kind of place I want to be in, is a church like that.
Yeah, me too.
Sweet.
But that
I think we're there.
I did want to comment on something that you were saying. When we were previously talking about this and kind of the effect that community does have, I kept thinking about the table. And I had mentioned to Mike that, you know, the table in many ways is like a church. You know, it has its own congregation and we meet together. And I, you know, told Mike how it can be a really chaotic night and lots of people can be complaining and a lot of things can go really wrong, and yet I still leave at the end of the night and I have a sense of fulfillment and joy. And it just reminded me of something you said. There's something about community and people that however they got there, that choose to come and meet continually and often, something happens that just kind of, I think, propels you onward or gives you a sense of fulfillment in trying to become better people or to strive for something else. But it just made me think of that phrase you said of maybe we can't always articulate what it is, but there is something about coming together and being there for one another and struggling with one another that is really special. And so I think that, you know, that's kind of what you're talking about a little bit with Charlottesville is we're going to struggle together to do this and figure out how we how to go on from there and how we want to act, but also just in order to do that, people have to we have to show up and commit to being there for one another.
Which kind of leads into like one other way that I think that we're like drive-in church. So we've tried to create space that where it's easy to connect no matter where you are on the belief spectrum. We've also tried to make it a church where it's easy to participate. We don't have a lot of barriers for people who want to come to Hot Metal and participate in any of the ministries or mission of our church. But one of the things I think we've experienced about that too is that there's a difference between being open and welcoming and someone feeling like they belong to this community. I think that we've really achieved like the open and the welcoming part, but there's like another piece of it before someone can really feel like they belong. And like Maggie said, it took a while. It wasn't instantaneous. Sometimes it can take years to feel like you're really part of the community, and that happens through participating in the church over time. We thought like maybe this would be like a good time to check in with you guys. We're kind of near the end of our sermon time, but to check in a little bit with you guys and hear from you, what are the reasons that you guys do church? What are the reasons that you are committed to being here right now, for instance, on Sunday morning or in other places during the week? And we're going to write them down too. Would you go grab the, it's back by the sound booth. Not with that. We're going to write them down too. So you guys can have like a couple of seconds to either think of what you want to say or make something up that sounds really good. You could do that too. Just think of the most Jesus-y answer you can think of. I thought it was... Oh, it's over here on my chair because I'm organized. So does anybody want to go first? Anyone want to talk about reasons you come to church? Brian. So to grow spiritually is a big reason, and to be around other people. Yeah. Nick. So originally for the childcare, and then later to experience and give compassion and grow spiritually. Yeah, great. MJ. My personal opinion is that our sacraments are good enough. JJ. Sounds like the relationships are really important to you. Yeah. Like a place of, yeah.
Yeah, I
knowing people and being known. Yeah, that's great. That's good. All right, this side of the room, Mark. No longer obligation, but having like a safe place where people understand you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a fact. Ange. Amen. Got a couple more people. And some kids that you guys came in, we're just talking about why we go to church. So if you have reasons why you like being here, you can share too. I see Grayson in the back. Grayson's very excited about his fishing rod. Roger. Glad you're here, Roger. Lauren. I think you guys heard that because Lauren's way in the back, but she said it's very interesting that everybody is sharing stories and not just ideas. And so maybe it's people are looking for a space where people know our stories and our spirit. Billy. Thanks, Grandma. All right. That's a good story. Mike. Feeding people. Donna. Jillian. Be the nicest thing anyone's ever said about hot metal. Thanks. All right, one more. Dean. Came here because of a mailer? So you're the one. Yeah. If we could get more deans, I would definitely send more mail. I know we could probably keep going, and I would encourage you to do that over lunch today. That could be a really good opportunity to share more about your story with the people that you're sitting with around the lunch table. To draw things together, something that I was kind of hoping would happen and did actually happen is that I was expecting that as we shared about the reasons for doing church together and listening to different stories, I kind of thought that it might affirm some of the work that our session has been doing as we've been workshopping and focusing on the mission of our church. And part of that process, and we've talked before in different places and different spaces about some of the work that came out of that, But one thing we spent some time doing is thinking about, well, what are like the, for lack of a better word, benefits of being part of Hot Metal? What are the things that we think people experience when they're part of Hot Metal? And there was like four things that we came up with. And one was a sense of belonging, that people will be safe, supported, and accepted in our community. And I think if you reflect back on the stories that we've all shared here, that definitely was an experience a lot of people have had. That people would have faith and hope. They'd be encouraged in their spiritual journeys. I feel like I've heard that from a lot of people. This would be a place of hospitality where people are welcomed with warmth and friendliness and generosity. And finally, and maybe most importantly, that people would experience transformation. That people would be challenged spiritually. That we'd be changed on like personal levels, but also on social levels, and given opportunities to serve. So I'm really encouraged that that worked. That really does affirm our sense of what our church is about and what happens here. And I'm like really encouraged to hear that feedback from all of you. So thank you so much for participating in our conversation. Maggie, is there anything that you want to say before we go to communion?
I mean, that sounds good.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.